Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, AM 1150. For me, it's Happy New Year. It's my first live show since 2014. It's great to be back.
Since 2013.
Well, since the end of 2013, since 2014 started.
Yeah. Well, Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Great to be back. Lots to talk about. And a little bit of an interesting twist today. I was contacted by a national broadcasting network and was asked to potentially comment on a current topic, and waiting to hear confirmation about that. And if it is going to happen, I'll be going to some studio in Seattle to be taped and will be aired on TV tomorrow. And I'm waiting for that call as I speak. So send me positive thoughts. I'd love for this to work out. And it also means that we might be doing an irregular break schedule during this show, but otherwise we'll be the same. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. Lots to talk about today. I didn't have a chance. I was really where we left off. My last new show was where I had Tracy Ross on talking about dogs and aggression and aggressive behavior. And prior to that, you regular listeners know, I was talking weekly about the heart-to-heart event that I hosted with the A-Help Project at Rainbow Bridge Hearts, where they do glass-blown pieces that swirl your pet's ashes, and they come out of the center, and they have a heart, they have a sphere, and they have a tea lamp piece that they offer in different color patterns, and they all have a white swirl, and that white swirl is your pet's ashes. Really beautiful way to memorialize your pet. We had an event there that I had been talking about for weeks on the show, and I just wanted to let people know how that went. It was beautiful. Not only did I have a heart made for my boy Chewy, who passed away over 4 years ago, about 4.5 years ago now, there were people, lots of other people there who, some had pets who had passed years ago, and some were real fresh off of it, and was just amazing. The experience of community there was amazing. The company Rainbow Bridge Hearts, they are amazing. We got to watch the glass blowers, do their craft, and everybody who was there got to see their piece be made. Really powerful. And then A-Help led a ceremony afterwards, and they had flowers, just a whole bunch of long stem flowers, and each person who was there got to go up and pick up a flower and say something to the group about the pet who they were remembering on that day. And it was really, really powerful. And of course we were all crying, and the people whose pets had been gone for several years and the people whose pets had been gone for weeks, everybody just, you get it. And what an amazing event, and I can't wait to do this again. We'll probably do it twice a year at this point, so stay tuned for that. And Rainbow Bridge Hearts is around all year long. So if you missed out on this event, but you want to have a beautiful glass blown piece made in memory of your pet, you can get in touch with them, rainbowbridgehearts.com. It was amazing. Amazing event. And my glass piece is gorgeous. And I love it. I couldn't love it more. And I posted about it on our Facebook page. So if you're not a fan of our Facebook page, be sure to check us out and become a part of the conversation in between our live shows. And just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Facebook, and you'll find us. So I had one of our partners, Jenny Harding with New Chapter Weddings, had her on a few weeks ago and talking about dogs in weddings. And she gave us some tips about people who might be planning a wedding and might want to include their dog in the ceremony, which is something that's becoming more and more popular, as a lot of us can imagine. I just wanted to mention her event that New Chapter Weddings puts on, One Love Wedding Showcase, Sunday, February 16th from noon to 5 at the Hyatt Olive 8 downtown Seattle. And it's an event that offers all couples, meaning both same-sex and heterosexual couples, a friendly, warm-hearted, fun environment to come be inspired and get questions answered, and to trust that everybody will be treated with respect and professionalism during the very exciting time of planning a wedding, regardless of whether it's same-sex or a heterosexual wedding. And unfortunately, a lot of same-sex couples do get discriminated against, even in states like Washington, where gay marriage is legal. There are businesses that will refuse, you know, vendors that will refuse to serve them. So One Love Wedding Showcase, it's wonderful, wonderful event. If you are anyone who is planning a wedding, it's a great place to go. Check out some great vendors. Noon to 5 p.m. Sunday, February 16th. And it's a free admission. And the website is oneloveseattle.com. And be sure to check that out. Let's see. So there's a lot of growth happening. That's part of why I took the last few weeks. Well, in addition to the fact that the Wednesdays were Christmas Day and New Year's Day. But, you know, I have had some time over the holidays to focus on some new endeavors. And I have a lot of exciting stuff that's coming down the pipes for 2014. Certainly we'll be keeping you updated on the show and via our social media outlets on that. But wanted to say that I am on Twitter now, finally. Well, I have been on Twitter, but I just haven't been using it. So I am now on Twitter. So if you tweet, you can find me. The handle is I am Julie Forbes. And we're going to be, once I start to get the hang of it, we'll be doing some Twitter sessions, either during the shows where you can tweet in and, you know, comment about perhaps the topic that we're discussing, or you could ask a question to the guest that I might be interviewing. I do a lot of guest interviews on the show. So it's a really great opportunity to be able to include the audience without having people calling in necessarily, but through Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, find me. I am Julie Forbes is the handle. And we'll just be keeping you posted through that. And then, of course, again, Facebook, The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. I have a new website and sort of, doesn't feel like a good fit to call it a new business, but it's a brand new website and with a different URL that I'm working on creating right now that's really going to combine the radio show, my expertise in training and behavior, my expertise in the pet food industry, and really be a great resource for people and a really fun way for people to get information, get educated, learn about really cool stuff going on. And it's just sort of expanding everything. So I'll be keeping you posted on that. That is still in the works, but it's exciting stuff. And that's part of what all is going on. I also wanted to say, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things on today's show. Talking about an article, you know, Psychology Today magazine offers a lot of really interesting, thought-provoking articles, and some of them really are easily related to life with dogs. And they had a article recently about humans' sense of smell, and it's a fairly short article. And I read it, and it's pretty interesting. And, you know, dogs are so scent-oriented. So I'm going to be reading from that article today and just kind of discussing that. But you can find the whole article. It's called The Underrated Sense. And I posted a link to the article on our Facebook page, so you can find it there. And it's just interesting because dogs are so, I mean, their sense of smell is their primary sense. It's the main way that they move through the world, and how they get the most information from their environment is through their sense of smell. And so it's interesting, you know, the title of the article is The Underrated Sense, and we, we'll smell, a batch of cookies baking in the oven, or you know, we can smell if something's cooking, but there's actually a lot more to it, even for people, even with our inferior sense of smell. There's quite a bit going on there, too. And so it gets into some of that information, which is really fun. So I'll be reading from that article and later in the show, and also talking about some more in-depth conversation about working with dogs and where my area of expertise is deepening in, you know, talking about nonverbal communication, you know, working. So I do private lessons and also phone and Skype consultations for people who might be listening from other parts of the country. And maybe, you know, a lot of people who live maybe not in a city don't even have access to many trainers at all, let alone someone that might be a good fit for them or someone who's equipped to work with more complex behavioral problems. So that is available too, where I can help people and do a consult over the phone, or we could Skype, and that way I can see your dog too. Julie@sensitivedog.com is a great way to get in touch with me if you're interested in that. Julie@sensitivedog.com, or you can call my business line, which is 206-372-7399. But there's an area of that conversation that's really deepening for me about nonverbal communication. And, you know, if we're talking about educating our dogs in anything, we want to know how to speak their language so that they are understanding what it is that we're trying to communicate. And it turns out that actually brings up a lot about people and being in our bodies and, you know, energetic stuff and all that. So it's really deepening the conversation. I'm going to get into that today. And, you know, some other stuff around the board. Westminster Dog Show is opening their agility trials to mixed breeds this year for the first time. Something that the American Kennel Club has done now for a few years, but also relatively new for them. And that's kind of a buzz going on, and some other great stuff, too. So we will take a quick break right now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Dog Show! Dog Show!
When your dog or cat is sick, you go to the vet. But sometimes they need more advanced care with a veterinary specialist. Hi, I'm Dr. Beth Davidow with Animal Critical Care and Emergency Services. Veterinary specialists receive more than 10,000 hours of extra training in dedicated fields like radiology, surgery, cardiology, oncology, and more. If your pet is facing a complicated health issue, it may be best to see a specialist. Talk to your veterinarian about the appropriate time for referral. To learn more about access and our specialists, visit criticalcarevets.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Bothell Feed Center, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 19th, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, host the show for me. They'll talk with Shauna Rosewood, relationship whisperer and author, about her book and upcoming events at East West Bookshop, then open phone lines so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hey, Seattle, this is Julie Forbes. When I got engaged a couple of years ago, one of the first things my fiancé said about our wedding was, "We need a wedding planner." I thought to myself, what do we need a wedding planner for? We hired Jenny Harding and New Chapter Weddings, and I now know there is no way we could have done it without her. If you are planning a wedding or corporate event, do yourself a favor and hire New Chapter Wedding and Event Planning. They did an amazing job for us, and they will for you. Find them online at newchapterweddings.com.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. If you're just tuning in, I said at the top of the show, might be a little bit of a curveball in today's show because I have an opportunity to potentially comment on a dog-related topic on a national television show, and I am waiting to hear back. That would happen tonight if it happens, and I'm waiting to hear back about it now as we speak during this live show. So if the phone rings, I need to answer it. So I will just take one of our breaks a little off schedule today. I'm sure you will accommodate me. Thank you. You know, I was thinking, Eric, about our, you know, my audience, and that the dog show is not only on KKNW and has been now for almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years mid-February, which is crazy. But my podcasters and the people who, you know, as a lot of people might not have access to the radio or might not be in the car, or, you know, whatever, during the weekdays from or during Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. So, and I know that I have a lot of people who do listen via our podcasting outlets on iTunes and also from our website. All of our shows are archived. There's over 250 episodes now on archived online. On iTunes, you can search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes under the audio podcasts, and you'll find us there. And on our website, dogradioshow.com, just go to the podcast page. As I mentioned earlier, I have a lot of new stuff going on, expansion and a new website that I'm building that I'll be keeping everybody posted on. And just some real sort of minor but significant improvements on the Dog Show website is on the podcast page. They're just organized a little bit differently so that they're the older podcasts like 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012. Those are now just organized under categories. And what that has helped with is that they all they load up a lot faster. It used to take a really long time for all the files to actually load up. And you'll see if you're somebody who has experienced frustration with that in the past, that has changed now. And that is an improvement on the existing site, which is great because it really was like, you know, felt like forever. I mean, a minute can feel like forever, you know, these days. Yeah. So that's not a problem anymore. The podcasts on the website are much more, much quicker to, it's really pretty much immediate that they load up, which is great.
Well, that is good because I have been one of those frustrated people trying to scan down through that.
Well, there you go.
So thank you.
Yeah. New and improved in 2014. And that's just the beginning. But, you know, I was thinking about my podcasters and I just wanted to send a shout out to my podcasters. What's up? Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. I'm not here to just talk to myself or you, you know, so that's great. And, also, if you're listening either on AM radio or via our podcasts, if you have ideas for show topics or questions maybe about your dog or, you know, anything like that, get in touch. I love to hear from my audience. And, you know, if you have a suggestion or a comment or you want to tell me what your favorite shows were or you want to tell me what shows you didn't like, if there are any, please get in touch. You can reach me directly, host@dogradioshow.com. That's host@dogradioshow.com. And, you know, would love to hear from you. So have at it. All right. So as I mentioned in the first segment, you can find us on Twitter now at I am Julie Forbes would be the place to go. And we're going to be incorporating in the next month or so some opportunity for people as you're listening live to actually tweet in and perhaps comment on a topic that we're talking about, ask a question of a guest that I might be interviewing that week. So great stuff coming on Twitter. If you're on Twitter or if you're not, you can find me. I am Julie Forbes is the handle. And then, of course, we're on Facebook as well. There was a post from Chase Away Canine Cancer that I just wanted to mention. It interviewed Sierra Reusser, who's the founder of Chase Away Canine Cancer. And it's a organization that raises money to support research for canine cancer and awareness. And one of the things that she posted very recently was that it was check your dog day, and what she's telling people, which is a very important thing, is to routinely, you know, once a month, mark your calendar, have a, you know, the first of the month or the 15th of the month or whatever it's going to be, that you, you know, and this would apply for your cats too. If you have kitties at home, do this with them as well. But to make sure that you're familiar with your pet's body and do a, you know, a long, light, just sort of massage or rub down, and just really get familiar with your pet's body. And I would like to say become an expert in how your pet's body feels, so that if something changes, you will notice. If there's a lump that comes up, you'll catch it, and then you can get your dog into the vet and have them check it out. In the context of canine cancer, just with people, you know, early detection is crucial. So, you know, especially with these dogs who have, you know, really thick coats, you wouldn't even notice, you know, if the dog was overweight or not, let alone had a little lump, you know, on its shoulder or something like that, unless you happened upon it. So be sure to check your pets. Be really attentive to their physical being, and do that through touch, especially those dogs, like I said, or cats that have really thick fur. So rub downs, you know, down the legs, you know, check the ears, check the teeth, and just a really great thing to do on a regular basis, so that you can catch something if it does change, and that you'll know if something's different because you've become so familiar. I mean, a lot of us touch our dogs or cats just in affection all the time, but that tends to be on kind of the same places. And really doing that intentional rub down is a great idea. So big thanks to Chase Away Canine Cancer for that tip. Excellent. Wanted to give a shout out to a local business that has been with us, has been partnered with the show since the beginning, and that's the Natural Pet Pantry. You know, we have been working together for years and years and years, and I've been referring my clients and pretty much anyone I can talk to about pet food to their company. Natural Pet Pantry offers raw and cooked frozen foods for dogs and cats. So you thaw the food out and just feed it as is. And it's excellent food. It's excellent nutrition. I've talked with Randy, the owner of Natural Pet Pantry, a few times on the show, and I've talked about pet food a lot. There's a lot of information there in our archives. Interviews with Dr. Michael Fox, interviews with Susan Thixton of truthaboutpetfood.com. So if you're interested in learning more about the industry and really being better educated, go through those archives and look for those guys. And there's a lot of great information out there. And Natural Pet Pantry is my longest term partner. Like I said, they've been with us from the beginning. They also have some new and exciting things coming up, expanding in their ways in 2014. So I'll be keeping you posted on that as well. The website is naturalpetpantry.com, and I just can't say enough good things about this company and their food, them as people, their really genuine commitment to quality, and really their fierceness about providing the best possible food for your pet so that your pet can be as healthy as possible. Food is the most important factor to health. Nutrition is the most important factor to health. You know, most of the immune system functions out of the digestive tract. It's such an interesting topic, and it's so important. And it's something that's just really not understood by the mainstream community. And now we have big, you know, established institutions like the American Veterinary Medical Association coming out with statements that they are, you know, that they don't encourage raw food diets. And I covered this when it was happening. And this is something that was proposed by the big business. And I'll be hoping to have Susan Thixton on the show to comment on this in more detail and to share her perspective and expertise. But I just wanted to send a special shout out in 2014 to the Natural Pet Pantry as one of our longest term partners. And I just love being partnered with them in the industry. The dog show has been around for almost 5 years now, over 250 episodes. We are expanding. and our audience is heavily female. And if you are a business who would like to get exposure to my audience via the radio show, via social media campaigns, via our website, and also through the new website, which is launching soon, get in on it. Get in touch with me and let's talk and see if it's a good fit. If you think your business would be a great fit for the show to partner, let's talk. So you can email me, host@dogradioshow.com, if you're interested in getting more information about that. And you can also call me, 206-372-7399. But get in on it now and get in touch to see how your business can benefit from joining the pack. And again, naturalpetpantry.com is their website, and they are in the greater Seattle area. They do home delivery, and also their food is available in smaller independent pet stores across the region too. So check them out. Okay, so there's this article in Psychology Today, and I have referenced them in the past, and they have one in their, let's see, this is an issue from a little while ago, about a year ago, but it's called The Underrated Sense, and it's about the sense of smell for people and how we experience our sense of smell. And I thought it was really interesting to just check this out. It's not a very long article, and to understand, you know, the ways that we as humans and animals experience our sense of smell and how that impacts us, to kind of give us maybe a little bit of a deeper understanding of what it might be like to be a dog, because that's probably one of the biggest differences if we really think about what is it like to be a dog. You know, people all the time are like, oh, I wish I could just, you know, I wish I could get into my dog's head for just 5 minutes and understand, you know, what they're thinking or how, you know, what do they feel or how, you know, what is it like to experience life as a dog? Well, one of the ways that we could kind of try to wrap our brains around that is to really understand what it's like to have an intense sense of smell like they do, because that is their primary sense and one of the biggest ways that we differ. So we're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to get into this article a little bit and read some bits from it and just discuss it and kind of get you thinking about this. And it's from Psychology Today. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
If I had my life to live over, I know just what I'd like to be. Pampered pet of a rich brunette, sitting on my mama's knee. Someone to love me, someone to care. Rub-a-dub-dub, little fingers through my hair and lead a dog's life. What a life, that's good enough for me.
Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different proteins to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their Burien shop, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your home. Natural Pet Pantry will even work with your vet to custom blend a prescription diet for your pet's unique needs. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. Natural Pet Pantry. It just makes sense.
Hi, I'm Martha Childress with the Natural Choice Network. Join us every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite leaders from our sustainable community to share their unique visions and valuable insights. You'll learn great tools to make your life greener, healthier, and more sustainable for generations to come. Thank you for making the natural choice. That's the Natural Choice Network every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Please join us.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
That's good enough for me.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. I was just commenting that Elvis really seemed to have dogs on his mind quite a bit when he was writing songs.
He definitely had an affinity for our canine friends, yeah. That's for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
You've played a few of them over the years.
Yeah, there's probably five or six Elvis dog tunes, so, yeah.
Always a pleasure. Well, we are back, and if you're just joining us, I just wanted to give you a heads up. I may be getting a phone call during the show about just a confirmation. I've been asked to potentially comment on a dog-related topic on a national television show. So if I do get the confirmation call.
Now, are you able to comment on what you might be commenting on?
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's not a secret. It's about the Westminster Kennel Club opening their agility to mixed breeds, which I am going to talk about in on today's show a little bit and just mention it. Something that I did interview someone from the American Kennel Club a few years ago when they adopted their new program where they opened up some of their events to mixed breeds.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Hold that thought. We'll get back to it.
All right. Very good.
Wanted to get into this article. Oh, so anyway, I might be taking a break just in a different time. So if that happens, and don't be thrown off, I'll be back. And it might be a little abrupt. So there's this article in Psychology Today called The Underrated Sense, and it's about humans' sense of smell. And like I said, a great way if you're a person who's inclined to try to imagine what it's like to be a dog, try to imagine what it's like moving through the world with your sense of smell as your primary sense. So this article talks about people's sense of smell, and I wanted to share some of it with you to get you thinking about your dog and what it's like for your dog. Now, dog's sense of smell is like, you know, I don't know, millions, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. It's, you know, the number varies depending on who you ask, but it's like exponentially larger. It's kind of, it's like trying to imagine how big the universe is. Like, how do dogs sense smell? They can smell things on a molecular level. So we have a hard time really wrapping our human brains around it. You know, dogs can sniff out cancer cells and stuff like that. So, but imagine what it would be like to move through the world with your sense of smell as your primary sense and walking into a room and getting the most information about your surroundings through your nose. That's what it's like to be a dog. The part of the dog's brain that analyzes scent is 40 times larger than the part of our brain that analyzes scent. And their whole olfactory, you know, area is structured differently than ours. It's really cool.
And yet they don't seem to be turned off by what we would consider bad smells in the way that we are. You know, sometimes like a smell that we would think, oh, this is overpoweringly gross.
And they're into it.
Yeah. Dogs are accepting of that. So even though they can sense it stronger than we can, they don't necessarily have the same triggers for what's yucky.
Yeah,
I guess.
You know, and that's actually something that the article talks about because, well, let's see. So I'll just get to that. But you actually bring something up that the article does talk about, which is differences in individuals and what we perceive as what we might have a positive reaction to. So, again, this is from Psychology Today. It's from December 2012 issue. You can find it online. And I've also posted a link to the article on our Facebook page. So find us on Facebook, The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You can read the article in its entirety. But I'll read a little bit of it here. Unless you're cooking, taking out the trash, or picking flowers, it's easy to forget about your sense of smell. But we rely on it for more than just detecting gas leaks or spoiled milk. And it says, even when you don't think you smell anything fishy, your nose knows quite a lot, especially about the people around you. Here are four unexpected talents of this oft-forgotten sense. And I thought it was interesting because the focus of this article was really about our sense of smell and smell specifically of other people and how our bodies react to that. So it goes through four different categories here. The first one, it talks about recognizing relatives. The smells of siblings, fathers, and even close friends could be picked out with greater accuracy than chance. But it was the smell of people's mothers that participants could identify with almost 90% accuracy. While it makes sense that we might be familiar with the smells of the people we know best, a follow-up study teased apart physical proximity and biological closeness and found that strong genetic ties confer a special olfactory bond above and beyond mere familiarities. It says mothers can easily recognize the smells of their biological children, but not their stepchildren, for example, and full siblings, but not half siblings, can accurately identify each other's odors. So it sounds like there's a genetic tie to odor recognition when it comes to recognizing relatives and not just the fact that you may have lived with somebody your whole life. And so it asks why, and a number of studies in humans and animals have found that everyone's scent carries a unique odor print that contains chemical information about some of our genes. Knowing who is family and who isn't gives us a leg up, pun intended, I'm sure, in identifying our kin and precludes the romantic pursuit of siblings and parents. So that was interesting. And the second category they talked about is in finding a mate. If a woman does not like how a man smells, it is a visceral barrier to being intimate, says Rachel Hertz, a Brown University researcher and author of Scent of Desire, Discovering Our Enigmatic Sense of Smell. Men pick up on women's smells, too, she notes, but they're more likely to be influenced by a woman's looks than by her scent. And so then in my own mind, I'm thinking, well, I'm sure it's the same for same-sex couples as well. And then they say body odor is not tied just to reproduction. Gay men, for example, prefer the smell of other gay men to the smells of women and straight men. And a parallel effect is present, though weaker, among lesbians. So it was, and this makes sense. Like you have, if you're dating somebody or like in love with somebody, you likely like how they smell. And if anything, you're like, it's like, you know, the intoxicating scent of so-and-so. It's like, oh, they smell so good, you know. Love how you smell. And there's something to it that, you know, there's really something to that. And
any indication in that article that what's attracting people is Axe body spray?
Because no.
According to the commercials.
That's right. No, they don't mention that.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure they thank you for the plug.
Because I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
Seeing those commercials.
Well, you know, and what they're talking about, of course, is not, well, I think it might have to do with perfumes and soaps and such, but it's also the person's just individual scent, which brings us to the third category, which is talks about detecting age and sickness. And in another study that's not yet published, participants were injected with an antitoxin that kicks the immune system into high gear. just as a sickness might. So odor samples were taken continuously from the moment of injection until symptoms manifested. And healthy subjects were able to detect the smell of heightened immunity an hour after injection, well before the participants were outwardly symptomatic. So the person who's doing this study is from the Monell Institute, Monell Center, excuse me. In both cases, they believe that we're actually smelling a chemical associated with the activation of the immune system, which can be working in overdrive in sick people and those over the age of 75. While the whiff of disease might help us subconsciously avoid people who are contagious, the smell is most likely not strong enough to be easily recognizable. But if you relate that to dogs and what they, you know, what are they picking up on? I mean, their sense of smell, like I said, is so much more complex than ours. But, you know, there's also a lot of work that's being done, you know, legitimate scientific research on how similar we are emotionally. And they're studying brain activity and the areas of the brain that light up when certain emotions are elicited that are the same in dogs as in people and also other animals as well. So I think it's fair to, you know, sort of translate this and ask, well, what is it that dogs are then also picking up on as well? And then they also talk about, and that also too has to do with like finding, you know, someone to reproduce with. If someone's attracted to, it says in the article somewhere else about the compatibility of immune systems, and that it's not that one is good and one is bad, but it's more of a compatibility factor as well, specifically speaking to immune systems, which I thought was really interesting. And the fourth category, sensing fear and stress, of course. Taking sweat samples from two perspiring people, one who's running and one who's giving a speech, and only the latter sample will reek of fear. And, you know, how this can, you know, help us. What says, well, we can't always consciously identify the odor of an anxious person. It can prime our fight or flight response and make us more cautious and aware. In one study, women exposed to sweat collected from students awaiting an exam evaluated neutral faces more negatively. In another, they performed more quickly and accurately on a word association task. So if the smell of fear in others activates our fight or flight response or primes it anyway, you know, I mean, that would make sense if it's potentially crucial to our survival. It might be useful, they say in the article, to be afraid if others are afraid, because we just don't know if a tiger is around the corner and if we should be getting out of there as well. So just interesting to think about our sense of smell and the information that they found with these studies that they're doing with people, and have an appreciation for the underrated sense of smell in us. And, you know, to help us, you know, apply that to, gosh, what is it like to be a dog?
Any indication in there that if we pay more attention to what we're smelling or how we use our scents, that we can actually sharpen it at all?
They don't mention that in the article, but I have heard informally over the years that when somebody is, like, for example, someone who is without sight, that their other senses heighten.
Right, right.
So it seems like the answer would be yes. And I mean, you know, I think stopping and being present to things like smell, it seems like it would, that they would get stronger, or that you would be more tuned into it or notice it even. I mean, and people walk around just almost holding their breath all the time. So, and that's a whole nother topic.
Or if they're congested like I am today, then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. But I would guess, they don't mention it in that article, but I would guess the answer is probably yes.
All right.
Something to think about. I don't know how long it would take, but yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, what they're saying too is that a lot of what we're responding to, we might not even be conscious about. That we're having, that there's sort of behind the scenes activity of where you encounter someone that you're compatible, that who's immune, you know, where you're compatible on some level, and you just think that you're attracted to them, or you like how they smell, but there's actually some pretty complex stuff going on in the brain and chemically in the body that's responding to that. So really interesting research. Again, a link to that full article is posted on our Facebook page, so you can find it there, The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Let's take a quick break, Eric, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Hey, bird dog, get away from my player. Hey, bird dog, we're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my loving love alone.
Hey, Seattle, this is Julie Forbes. When I got engaged a couple of years ago, one of the first things my fiancé said about our wedding was, we need a wedding planner. I thought to myself, what do we need a wedding planner for? We hired Jenny Harding and New Chapter Weddings, and I now know there is no way we could have done it without her. If you are planning a wedding or corporate event, do yourself a favor and hire New Chapter Wedding and Event Planning. They did an amazing job for us, and they will for you. Find them online at newchapterweddings.com.
When your dog or cat is sick, you go to the vet. But sometimes they need more advanced care with a veterinary specialist. Hi, I'm Dr. Beth Davidow with Animal Critical Care and Emergency Services. Veterinary specialists receive more than 10,000 hours of extra training in dedicated fields like radiology, surgery, cardiology, oncology, and more. If your pet is facing a complicated health issue, it may be best to see a specialist. Talk to your veterinarian about the appropriate time for referral. To learn more about access and our specialists, visit criticalcarevets.com.
Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different proteins to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their Burien shop, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your home. Natural Pet Pantry will even work with your vet to custom blend a prescription diet for your pet's unique needs. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. Natural Pet Pantry. It just makes sense.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, bird dog, get away from my chick. Hey, bird dog, you better get away quick. Bird dog, you better find a chick a little of your own.
All right, welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Great to be back in 2014. Lots of interesting topics today's show. If you're just tuning in, I was just talking about an article in Psychology Today from one of their past issues about humans and their sense of smell. If you've missed any part of this show or any of our over 250 episodes, you can find them online at dogradioshow.com and also on iTunes as a free audio podcast. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes under audio podcasts on iTunes, and you'll see them all there. And you can also find us on our podcast page on dogradioshow.com. And as I said earlier, the shows will load up a lot faster now because we reorganized them. So I wanted to talk in this last segment here about one aspect of my conversation in my area of expertise with working with dogs, educating dogs in basic training, and also working with more complex behavioral challenges. This is something I've been doing for over 12 years. I offer in-home private lessons in the greater Seattle area and also phone consultations and Skype consultations for people who don't live in the area. So I am accessible even if you're not a Seattleite. And you can get in touch with me at julie@sensitivedog.com or reach me by phone 206-372-7399. So in talking about, you know, communication, it's really what we're talking about. If we're wanting to educate a dog, whether it be, hey, don't chew on the table, or hey, don't jump on me, or hey, this is what down means, or this is what the rug is. I mean, we're talking about communication. And if we're talking about, if we're in a conversation about communicating with dogs, then whose language are we talking about speaking? We're talking about really speaking their language, which is nonverbal. And that's probably the biggest thing for people to really understand. And it's an area of my conversation that I'm getting into more and more depth as I just continue to have it with people and continue to practice and refine and learn from the dogs that I work with. You know, when I was in chemistry in college, one of my labs was led by a teacher's assistant who was who barely spoke English, and I was like, really, this is hard enough as it is, let alone have me not even be able to understand what the teacher is trying to tell me. Like, I was really upset by it. It really didn't feel fair. So, you know, dogs aren't verbal. You go to the dog park or watch your dogs at home interact, or, you know, they're not sitting around on the couch chatting about this and that. They're communicating in other ways. And these are ways that are really natural for people, for sure, because we too are animals. But we tend to get so distracted by our thinking and our talking. And we have a tendency to not really be totally present and tuned into the quality of energy that we generate and how we're holding ourselves. And then related to the last article, you know, ooh, what do we smell like? Because that is impacted by how we feel. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, or maybe even ironic, that if we're teaching a dog a word, if we're talking about basic training, to teach a dog a word, they actually learn the word using nonverbal communication. So we might, you know, lure them into a position and then tell them, oh, good down, good down, good down, as they are actually in that position. So they're going to attach the word to what they're doing, or to the position that their bodies are in. We can't explain to them, hey, Fluffy, down is when you put your body on the ground and your elbows are on the ground here. You know, this is what it looks like, blah, 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 blah. We can't explain it out to them. They have to learn through experience and consistency, and then they will attach the word. Dogs can learn hundreds of words. It's not to say that they can't learn words, but they are not verbal creatures. It's not their main way to communicate. So one of the things that I've been really deepening is this conversation about energy. And as I'm working with people one-on-one, getting people into their body. And, you know, it's not something that we as a culture are terribly good at. And in fact, we're actually tend to be really mean to our bodies often, especially women. Hating this, hating that. And what kind of an energetic impact that has on our presence and understanding that, what does that do to our emotions? What does it do to the quality of energy that we generate? And therefore, what does it do to how we are perceived by our dogs? And also, how do we impact? How does this impact our dogs? You know, this article in Humans was talking about how humans are impacted by different smells, and it impacts our perspective on the world. Women who were given the smell of fear in other people sort of qualified neutral faces as more negative. So it's impacting our filter or our experience in the world. And gosh, if dog's sense of smell is that much more intense and more elaborate than ours, then does that have even more of an impact? If you are just wrapped with fear or anxiety, or, you know, really struggling in your life, going through a hard time, that's something I work with people a lot with. They've gone through a transition and it's thrown the dogs out. Not literally, but, you know, thrown them off. The dogs are just, you know, we've moved across the country, or the family's going through a divorce, and the dog, that translates into challenging behavior because it's upsetting for the dog too. well, really important that we're aware of our nonverbal communication. And it's the best way to communicate easily and effectively with dogs is to master their first language. And what that is taking the words out and getting into your bodies, slowing down, getting present, letting your dog have the time and space to even have a thought process in the first place. So it's a part that I'll be talking more about, I'll be writing more about, and that will be accessible to everybody. So stay tuned on that. And just real quick here before we wrap up today, the Westminster Dog Show opened up their agility trials to mixed breed dogs, something that the American Kennel Club did years ago. And I, for one, think it's great. I think it's great to raise awareness for these types of activities that people can do with their dogs, like agility, and that you don't have to have a purebred dog to compete in these things. Anywhere that we can give our dogs an outlet for their energy, a constructive outlet for both their physical and mental energy, the happier they'll be. So I think it's a great thing. Thanks so much for being here with me in our first show of 2014. Great to be back. Great to see you again, Eric. I hope you feel better. I know you're a little congested.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next Wednesday live from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk AM 1150. And as always, archived on iTunes and on our website, dogradioshow.com. Thanks so much for listening.